At Pew Talk Podcast, we know that faith starts in the home. We also know that it can be difficult to take what we hear on Sunday and live it out in our homes the rest of the week. That's because information alone doesn't lead to growth and change. But information that's reflected on and put into practice is much more likely to lead to growth and change. Join us as we hear God's word, reflect on it, and give practical starting points to help you live out your faith in your family and in your community.
Woo!
Wah-ha! Hi, friends.
My voice
howdy, y'all.
My voice cracked like a little girl.
I'm going
through puberty. And hi, y'all. How are you?
Howdy, y'all.
Thank you. And thank you very much for being here. And we have a very special Father's Day, even though it was Sunday.
Yeah.
But we're going to tell you dad jokes all
yep.
day.
All for the next hour.
You're welcome.
You'll get dad jokes. So, Stacy, you want to start with your favorite dad joke?
Nope.
That in itself is
there. It is.
I'm terrible at telling jokes.
Hey, when do dad jokes become jokes?
No!
I don't know when.
No, you didn't even ask the question.
I did.
When does a joke become a dad joke?
I was fine the way I asked it. Now you just ruined it.
You said when do dad jokes become dad jokes?
Exactly.
No, when does a joke become a dad joke? Stacy, when does
do
a joke?
I guess it?
Yes.
When it becomes apparent.
Oh, yeah. Well, that was my dad joke, and it just got stolen out from under me.
So this all started because we were having dinner, we heard little dad jokes coming out of a little kid.
It was my kid, because that's the only humor he learns is my. You know, I actually really wanted to write a song
today.
I was gonna write a song about a sandwich, but it actually turned more into a rap.
Oh. I got a button.
I like jokes.
You're so crazy.
Jokes are the best. So Landon sat down at dinner and he says, "Hey Casey, did you hear about my camping trip?" Casey, "No, I didn't."
Well,
Landon said it was intense.
And so Casey's like, "Well, tell me more." And Landon's like, "No, it was intense."
Well, and the context of why I didn't understand is right before that, Paul's son Will is going off on this fantastic, not true story to me. I'm like, "Oh, really?" And so I thought Landon was trying to top it. I'm like, "Nope, that was a joke."
Yep.
So I went from listening to a made up intense story to a joke, and I didn't get the transition.
No,
yeah,
no.
That's unfortunate.
Yeah,
you know, I just want to ask all of you guys, who do you call when you break your toe? A tow truck.
Oh.
Ew. So for those of you out there in Podcastville, what are your favorite dad jokes? Comment, call in, even though we don't do that. But
Daniel Potts, if you're out there, you can't say none of them.
Yeah.
Choose one.
So I've got a really good friend. We started in Summer Greek at seminary together. We Marco Polo a lot, which is like a video app where you can send videos to friends. I will send him dad jokes and I will get responses of him just staring blankly. And it's awesome. So Daniel,
this is for you.
These are for you. I need to hear your best dad joke.
Well, we all do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So you know what else today? There's a couple things today. Mm-hmm. One, and this, I don't know how this happened. We must have missed a couple.
Today is number 50, right?
Today is number 50.
We missed 2 weeks when some of y'all weren't feeling the greatest.
Oh, the koof days.
Yeah, the koof days.
Mm-hmm. Oh, the koof days.
But this is episode number 50.
But because we're saying, they're like, wait a minute, 50, that's exciting. It is actually the year anniversary.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And we're missing Lacey today.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't know if I have a button for that.
Yeah, that's okay. We don't need a button for that one. Yeah.
Yeah. Unfortunately, she can't be here with us today. But we are still here and we're still going to talk about Jesus somehow.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Talking about Jesus
in the scheme of dad jokes.
They do mix kind of well because
Casey's going to give us a Bible dad joke.
Yes,
he's been like leading up to this, but he won't tell us any.
And I was told I wasn't allowed to say it.
You're going to have a live.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, let's go.
Hold so, on. You know, we're pretty familiar with scripture, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you know, we've seen the verse that says where Jesus tells us to come forth and receive eternal life, right?
Yeah. What happens?
But Steve came fifth and got a toaster.
Yeah, darn it. Poor Steve. Yeah, you go ahead.
We haven't had a lot of cheering yet.
No, because they've been real bad.
I mean, do dad jokes ever really get cheers?
I mean, there are some where you just go... That was good.
Landon had a couple that were good.
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember
one? The tent one was good.
Remember what else he said?
Yeah, that's fine.
We've heard him so many times
now. Yeah.
Anyways, dad jokes.
Dad jokes.
So, yeah, number 50. Also, exciting news is that I started to design some t-shirts. Are you guys excited about that?
Pew Talk swag.
Yes. You know, I'm just excited so I can just wear them, so I can actually have an excuse to wear t-shirts in church.
Yeah. The first one will be most likely a Salt and Pepper Black Otter.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's the one I worked on the most.
That's the one we all want to wear.
So, but y'all have to know, if you're going to wear a Salt and Pepper Black Otter shirt, when someone says, hey, what are you doing with that shirt? You got to know. So Casey, what if you're wearing a Salt and Pepper Black Otter shirt and someone says, hey, why are you wearing a Salt and Pepper Black Otter shirt? What are you going to say?
Well, that's a phenomenal question. It's because I'm simultaneously a saint and a sinner.
Ah, because you know Latin.
Yes. Oh, totally. Yeah,
perfect. So remember, so if you have, if you're just, you know.
Very natural flow conversation.
Yep, there it is. Yeah, there it is. So Salt and Pepper Black Otter, you've heard us say that. Maybe you missed one of the episodes where that came out, but the Latin, there's a Latin phrase, simul justus et peccator, that means simultaneously at the same time saint and sinner. And after I used that a couple times, Lacey looked at me and she's like, I can't remember what you said, but I just remember Salt and Pepper Black Otter. So I can't wait to wear a Salt and Pepper Black Otter shirt.
I just want to wear a t-shirt to church.
Yeah.
So I might
wear a t-shirt to church.
Well, I'm going to have one that says Pew Talk.
Pew Talk.
And maybe Salt and Pepper Black Otter.
Yep.
And somewhere in there, we're going to do, see here, some sunshine and cupcakes and embrace the awkward.
Yep.
We're going to get, well, yeah, we're going to do this.
We'll get going.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But that's neither here in there. What are we talking about today?
Jesus.
Yeah. Really?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You wouldn't go figure, but
yeah. Jesus. Yeah. So we are going to be looking at Psalm 61. And I said that as slowly as possible because
Psalm.
So I can get
it's Psalm.
It makes it more exciting.
Oh, are you going to read it now? Should I bring it up?
I guess. Am I reading it now? Psalm 61.
Here it is on screen for you.
Oh, never mind.
61. What? Verses 1 through 5, right?
I was going to give another dad joke with that, but I decided against it now that we're into our Jesus time.
Psalm 61, verses 1 to 5. Hear my cry, O God. Listen to my prayer. From the end of the earth, I call to you when my heart is faint. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I, for you have been my refuge, a strong tower against the enemy. Let me dwell in your tent forever. Let me take refuge under the shelter of your wings. For you, O God, have heard my vow. You have given me the heritage of those who fear your name.
I will say that let me dwell in your tent. It was a tense.
Yeah, dwell in your tents. That was intense.
It's relevant.
Look, exactly. Landon must have listened in church and was preparing us for our podcast. Thanks, buddy. Mm-hmm. So yeah, we really focused on this, you know, this phrase, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. This rock that is, you know, not only a strong foundation, but it's also like a shelter. A fortress. You know, if you've ever been, even like, not that I have, but like you see pictures of people like sitting on the edge of a cliff and they look down and there's no way that anyone down below can have any sort of effect on them. They can't attack them in any way. Like that's the rock that's just up there you can hang out on and be safe, kept safe from your enemies. You're looking at me funny. I didn't talk about that at all on Sunday, but that's okay.
Just visualizing that.
The higher ground.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, on higher ground. That's where everyone wants to be in terms of
safety wise. So, yeah. Good place to be.
I will say it was really hard for me to keep saying lead me to the rock that is higher than I. I know that is grammatically correct, but I want it to be me.
Mm-hmm. Higher than I am.
Right. It's lead me to the rock that is higher than I am high. Because you get, yeah, but I really want to just say me. And I couldn't.
Higher than me.
Higher than me.
Well, you know, you have yourself in the center of it all. So what does that mean to you? I mean, we just kind of talked about it, but I mean, what is that in your life? What does that mean?
Well, so for me, like, I got to go back a little bit to the beginning. You know, from the end of the earth, I call to you when my heart is faint, when my heart is overwhelmed. I've talked about this a couple times. You know, the last month or so, year or so, at times has been quite overwhelming in my life. And I spent some time with a counselor about a month ago, and he really encouraged me to really spend some time with focused meditation. And I'd never done any sort of meditation. I've never done anything like that. And it has been absolutely fantastic to start just about every morning with, you know, 3 to 10 minutes of just quiet meditation, focusing on my breathing, focusing on my just the thoughts that are coming and going, being reminded of, and that was actually something I learned about that was the focus today, was impermanence, that things come and go. But even in the midst of, and yes, it's transcendental or whatever, I don't know. It's not biblical based, the thing that I'm using to help me in meditation, but it helps me to center myself on Jesus. It helps me to get rid of distractions, and not focus on what's overwhelming me, but focus on Jesus, focus on that rock that has, that is my foundation, that rock that is my, my stronghold, my fortress. That's what that means to me. What about y'all?
Yeah. Okay.
Good job.
Ditto. I had a couple thoughts that went through my mind. Now, I wasn't there Sunday, so I had to listen to the podcast version of the sermon,
yep,
which is way nicer to listen to because there's no sound in between. There's no gaps.
That was probably very short.
15 minutes. 15 minutes in and out.
I actually don't think I took out the gaps on this one, so there you go. I just spoke without gaps. Boom.
Sped it up so he couldn't tell.
Yeah, Paul also listens at two times the speed.
Yeah, I do. And also my software that I use for podcast does cut out this dead air. So yeah. Anyways, that's not beside the point. Two things came to mind, and one of them was that, have you ever, I always put everything in the form of question because I live in Jeopardy world. Have you ever felt like that even though you have a relationship with Christ, that he is busy doing stuff, say, in other parts of the world and not really paying attention to you? Almost to the point, like I go back to that kind of parable of here is my fortune, watch after and grow it.
Yeah, while I'll be
gone,
back.
While I'll be mm-hmm. I'm gone kind of thing. And he's like, okay, he's working his stuff on others. Not that I'm saying my faith is waning as much as like...
I don't feel it.
Well, he's just like, I know that he's working somewhere else and he doesn't need to be here. Has he ever felt like that?
I would say yes. And I not like a deep feeling of it, because my whole life, I know that God's promises that he works all things to the good. Romans 8:28. That's one of the few verses I know by chapter and verse, so I like to cite it and prove I know stuff.
I just know John 11:35, Jesus wept, so.
Yeah, boom.
Okay, but, love you.
But, like, it certainly can feel that way, especially when, you know, I think as Christians, we dance around this idea every once in a while, but I think, you know, in our head, we know when we're in our darkest moments, all God has to do is snap his fingers, say, you know, let it be done, and the problem that we're dealing with goes away. And it really can eat at us when that's not happening. And I think that's what the psalmist is getting at here in the text, is, you know, when I feel faint, like, you know, we will all feel that. You know, he's asking God to guide him through whatever situation he's going through. And I think you mentioned in the sermon on Sunday, it's happened to be when one of David's sons had rebelled against him and then was wound up getting killed during that time. Like, it was a rough time in David's life.
That's the best guesstimation of when it was. David doesn't tell us specifically when what's going on as he's writing this, but that's what most scholars think, is right after Absalom has died.
Mm-hmm. And I hope as few people as possible have to go through that tragedy, but in those situations, we have to trust God to lead us out of it. And part of being led out, you know, can be a process. You know, that's kind of how I look at it. And I have to focus on that, because it's exactly like you said there, Paul. It can feel like God has, yeah, he's there, but he's not really caring about me. You know, he's kind of not that he has, but it feels like I've been forgotten at times.
I'm not sure if I'm going for forgotten. I'm more of, he has more important things to do, and he has basically said, here, I want you to grow this, I'll be back. Now, does that make sense? It's not like, oh, he's gone, I don't feel him anymore, therefore I'm alone. It's more like, I gotta watch out, I gotta watch for this, this gift, mm-hmm. while he's overdoing other things. Mm-hmm. That's what I'm going for. I mean, is that make sense? There is a distinct...
You're not feeling forgotten. It's almost more of a, he trusts me with this, he's trusted me with this, he's focused on this because he can trust me with this.
And so he's off working with people that need him more.
Yeah. The nice thing is Jesus can be over there and here at the same time.
Correct. Correct.
Yeah.
We know that.
Yes.
But it doesn't mean that those feelings that you have are not valid.
Right. I don't get that sort of feeling, mainly because I wouldn't trust myself myself. No, I mean, you're looking at me funny.
I don't know. Okay. I'm just trying to follow the conversation.
Yeah, no, I don't feel that. When I feel like Jesus, you know, if I feel Jesus is somewhere else, it's more of the feel alone sort of feeling.
Well, see if I can conjure up a Bible story in my head without, I'm not as good as you guys. Wasn't there a story, which prophet was it? Was it Jeremiah that got thrown into a pit by the other prophets?
I think that's Jeremiah.
And it was like this muddy pumpkin pit and he was saved by an Ethiopian. Is that ringing a bell? Or am I making it this
very
up?
Vaguely, but I don't remember.
Am I making this up? Remember?
There's something very vague about that. I haven't read that story in over 10 years, so I don't. I remember it's part of the narrative of Jeremiah, and like he uses some of the imagery in the prophecy.
Well, I think I read it in a. I think the whole concept of it, I probably read it in a devotional or something. But the whole point of him being thrown into this pit after basically the other prophets were saying, "Oh yeah, there's going to be peace," and he's going, "Nah, I don't think so." And then the other ones are like, "Hey, you're making me feel bad. You're making us look bad," so they threw him in a pit to basically die in this mud pit and get sucked into mud. And then an Ethiopian came up, and the whole point of that was during that time when you're in this muck and mire in this pit, and the only thing you see above you is the sky that you can get out, but you can't get out. What was going through his mind at that point? Was all that faith and all that thing, was it waning? Was he going, "I'm gonna die," and you know, was I forsaken? Was my God busy over on the other
sometimes
side?
You just ask like the most randomest questions that are like, "Well, now what was this person feeling?"
Well, I mean, we can surmise kind of probably what he was feeling based off of, you know, how we might feel. Jeremiah is sometimes known as the weeping prophet. He laments a lot. And there are some...
He kind of wrote a book like about that, didn't he?
In fact, he did. Jeremiah. Ooh, genius. but the other side of it is people with a background in psychology and psychiatry have looked through the way that Jeremiah wrote. And sometimes they have surmised that Jeremiah might have also wrestled with depression. We're not saying that 100%, but that I've seen that theory out there because he had so much going on. And during Jeremiah, I forget if it's during his lifetime or if it's leading up to his lifetime, God has revealed to Jeremiah that the Israelites are going to be taken prisoner to Babylon. Like the world that Jeremiah has grown up in is about to, if things don't turn around, which they didn't, they were going to get taken prisoner. And all the other prophets are like, "Oh, it's okay. Keep doing what you're doing." And he gets rejected for trying to do what God asked him to, trying to help people not screw this thing up. And trying not to go into slavery. And what's his thank you? He gets thrown into a mud pit.
Yeah. Well, and that's kind of what I'm bringing that up and asking what you're feeling is because even as believers, sometimes we're thrown in a mud pit.
Yeah.
And when you're talking about being overwhelmed, sinking slowly to your death because you're sinking into this mud in a pit that you can't climb out of. And then to be saved by, like, well, in this story, an Ethiopian is somebody that probably had no reason to save him and probably put his own life at risk by doing this, which also... I think mirrors the Ethiopian being baptized by
Philip.
Philip. Yep. I don't know. There's just a long lot of things I think about, and this is the reason why I don't say a lot. but I was thinking of overwhelmed, sinking in this mud, not necessarily going, "My God has forsaken me and he's gone," but kind of going, why am I in here? You know, yeah. And as you were saying, trying to follow God's rules and yet the world turned on him and said, "Yeah, you're causing mischief. We'll put you in this pit." Mm-hmm. So that is what would cause me to feel overwhelmed, not necessarily being in a pit, but to sit there and go, I'm trying to do God's word and trying to live this life. And yet I feel like I'm being put in a pit.
Yeah.
Well, and it's so much ingrained in us as people that you do the right thing, good things come your way. You do the bad thing, bad things come your way.
Karma.
Yep. I mean, in some ways, at least in leading, you know, in leading a classroom or a youth room, that is, you know, how you have to operate as well in leading and teaching. But it's easy to get sucked into that, especially we're all sinners, but at least as a believer, I try to follow God as closely as I can. And I ask for forgiveness when I don't. But in those moments when I've been in a valley, it's like, I feel like going, "What in the world, God?" Like, you know, I've tried to do my best and you know, this is how I get treated. Like, I, you know, it's very easy to get into that mindset.
Oh yeah.
Well, you brought up Comrade on Sunday.
Sunday.
Yeah. 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 Karma is, it's just, I mean, that's really the functional, I mean, the world's functional belief system is good things happen to good people. And that's usually what it's talked about. You know, good things happen to good people when I think of myself. But then when I look at all those other people, then I think bad things should happen to bad people. Look at those bad people. But we often miss that piece in the middle where, well, if bad things happen to me,
then I must have been bad.
Oh, shoot. Maybe it's not karma. It can't be karma. It's it's something else that's causing bad things to happen to me. And that's usually then when we switch to blaming God, which is moral therapeutic deism, where it's God wants us, or this higher being wants us to live a good life and be happy and not worry. And so
only one of those things is true.
Yeah.
Don't worry.
He doesn't want us to worry.
Yep. Tomorrow has enough worries of itself, you know, of its own. But yeah, but it's, so we kind of vacillate back and forth. When things are going well, it's easy to say, well, yay, look, it's because I'm such a good person. And then often bad things happen and some people just blame themselves. I'm not a good person. This is all my fault. A lot of people turn to blaming God, and this is kind of what I was talking about. For me, a lot of times it's just to ignore reality, to try and avoid, and a lot of Americans do that as well. If I make myself busy enough, I won't have to deal with the yuck of life because I can just avoid it.
That brings up that point that I made, a couple of weeks ago about lying to ourselves and not being very truthful on the situation or whatever's going on, and actually trying to sugarcoat everything just because something bad's happening. It's just like, I don't know if that's, you know, as you said, it's like, well, that's because this or that, and not actually going well because sin.
Well, and as humans,
sounds like Stacey was about to say something wise and profound.
No. This was a hard one for me because I don't know how many times I've said this last year. I'm just so overwhelmed. And I'm sure Anthony probably thought about that a few times while he was talking about being overwhelmed. But I'm trying to pinpoint, like, what exactly have I been feeling in this overwhelm? And have I blamed God? Have I blamed myself? I don't know. I've definitely felt like I'm in a pit, and there's a Beth Moore book, Get Out of That Pit. And I've kind of learned about that a little bit. Like, sometimes we put ourselves into the pit. Sometimes we fall into the pit. Sometimes somebody else pulls us in. There are different reasons to be down there. And I think for me, it was kind of a combination of everything this last year of COVID kind of threw us all into this situation where things are new and challenging and potentially overwhelming. And how are we going to handle that? And I think I, at least for the first couple months, I felt like, okay, we can do this. This is a curveball, but we've got this. And just like that, power through. But then as things continued to stay the same and challenging and day after day, it's like, okay, Lord, this is happening. And I thought that I could do this and we could continue in this, but I'm still feeling the heart and the tension. And is my faith not strong enough that I'm finding, I can't find this to be easy or not necessarily easy, but that I can't manage this. This feels unmanageable. And I think it's become like, there's definitely depression there. Like it's deeper. Like I feel that with Jeremiah and the lamenting of things. But I think sometimes that overwhelm becomes consuming, and I don't even know that there's any rhyme or reason to it. I don't know that I've blamed God necessarily, but I've definitely felt that disconnect of I'm reading the Bible and I'm studying it and I'm praying and I'm doing what I can to focus myself on this track, but I don't see the difference. This is going down a very different conversation, but and that's what this is a familiar verse that I've prayed a lot. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I am overwhelmed. Lead me there. And what happens when I don't feel that leading?
Am I just supposed to answer that question? I don't know.
But I don't think that I'm alone in that.
No.
Like consuming overwhelm. So what do you tell yourself? What do you tell your friends, your family members when you're feeling this consuming? I'm seeking the Lord.
When the verse that I go back to, it is my favorite passage in scripture. For me, it's what I go to. It starts in Job chapter 38. And so a little context. Mm-hmm. Job is a man who followed God. He had a great family, a great piece of property and great wealth. And the devil comes before God and says, Job only loves you because you blessed him with all this great stuff. And God says, fine, you are allowed to take it away, but you can't harm Job himself. So the devil works and takes away his property, his children, and his wealth. And through a long process, you know, the book is 40 some chapters long, so it's a longer story. But Job is wrestling with this, and at one point he doesn't blame God, and that the book is very clear that Job never once blames or curses God for what happens to him. But what Job does do, he essentially says, I was such a good guy, and I loved God about as perfectly as I could. God must have made a mistake. You know, a guy like me, God didn't, I'm not blaming God, but he kind of screwed up here. And so God comes down in Job 38 and gets a little sarcastic and a little angry with Job. And I'm a sarcastic guy, so I really enjoy that. He goes, essentially, I'm sorry, where were you when I made the world? I mean, you know, you obviously know how I make snow, Job. Please tell me how that happens. Tell me how I made night and day, because you obviously wrote the book, Job, here. Tell me how to do my job. And it literally is three chapters from Job 38 onward of God going through all these examples of, you know, you're such a genius, Job. Tell me how to run the world. Come on. Mm-hmm. And at the end of it, Job realizes that I don't know as much as I thought I did. Please forgive me, God. And I go back to that in those situations for me, because God, aside from writing my whole story, he has to write, you know, how many people are alive on this planet at the moment, how many people have ever lived, how many are going to live. He has that all planned out in a magnificent, beautiful, interweaving, almost tapestry. And I have to remember that, first off, my story isn't the only story that he's working through, but also this isn't the end of my story until I reach heaven. And God does know more about what he's doing than I ever will.
You know, interesting about Job is that when you were talking about all that, the one thing I remember at the very end of it was Job essentially making the case that because God knows all those things and he doesn't, is like, I have no chance of, mm-hmm. I need an advocate, mm-hmm. to, and so it's kind of like a precursor to, I know, I just want to say it because Jesus. I'm just, because it is very, because when God is basically going, what were you doing? And he's just like, I'm, you know, I get next to you, I'm nothing. I need.
Well, and at the start of Job 38, he literally calls him out and goes, you come here and you face me like a man. Like, that is the literal sentence that God calls him. Face me. Come on, let's have it out. And Job, after three chapters, is like, oh shoot, I cannot.
Yeah, but it makes the case why we need an advocate, you know? And so that overwhelming feeling, I know all these things, we kind of dance around different things. Yeah. I'm talking about falling into pits and feeling like God is busy with other places. You're feeling overwhelmed because of changes and all the stuff that you can't control. You know, Job was talking about, well, clearly you made a mistake on all this because...
Grief, yeah. All that he lost. And-
mm-hmm. It's just crazy, all these different pieces, and yet we still are not forgotten.
Nope.
And so, but I guess the question we're really asking and the question we're dancing around is, that's fine and dandy, but, and we can say these things out loud all we want, but really, how do we get out of that? These tailspins that we have in our head, all three of these different things we just talked about are kind of like tailspins that we can, you guys all said you overanalyze everything, Lacey.
Yeah.
Okay, camera. Yeah. Yes. And I guess it's just the question is, I mean, and I know that we can say prayer.
Read the Bible, pray, go to church.
Okay, the end. See you later.
Problems solved.
Well, and it's almost like, you know, it's like, as Christians, at times we treat that as the easy bake recipe. Like, oh, do these things and everything will work out for you. And while certainly getting closer to God, he will draw closer to you. That is an exact quote from the Bible. He promises to do that. So we're not discounting God on what he promises. But just because God is drawing closer sometimes doesn't make my problem feel better.
Doesn't take it away.
Yeah. Although it can be a comfort at times, you know, when life rocks you hard, that feeling sometimes can't just go away. You're nothing's getting you out of it. And
I don't think it's supposed, like, we want to be removed from that situation. We mm-hmm. want to remove me from this sense of overwhelmingness, remove me from these feelings. I would argue that that's not what Jesus came for.
Mm-hmm. Why not?
I'm sorry.
He was here to make me happy.
Jesus did not come to make your life sunshine and cupcakes.
Sunshine and cupcakes.
Jesus, yeah. Yep. I just had to throw that in there because that's gonna be my favorite shirt. Mm-hmm. Jesus came so that you might have life. Jesus also said, "In this world, you will have struggles. Take heart. I have overcome the world." Yes, there are ways that we can spend time in God's word. We can meditate on His word day and night. We can spend time in prayer, even those times. times that we don't have words for it, we can just groan and the Spirit intercedes on our behalf. We can spend time in worship where it's not only a time where we can worship our God who is a fantastic God, but we can also be encouraged by our brothers and sisters who are also surrounding us in worship. But God doesn't then promise to take us out of those. He promises to be with us through those. Oh, I mean, David in Psalm 23 says, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death." He doesn't say, "Yay,
you pulled me out
of the valley of the shadow of death." But he says, "I will fear no evil, for thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. You are with me here." Those aren't things to get. And this is, you know, Pastor Dan teaches has taught in the past a grief share class at Trinity a lot. And one of the things that he said to me, because our words are important the way we, because a lot of people will ask, well, how do I get over this, this grief? And he says, you don't, you get through it. And you go through it with Jesus. You go through it with a solid rock, right? The last week we looked at the wise man who builds his house on the rock. Both houses get beaten with storms. Both houses get the wind and the waves. And I keep waiting for the storms to come tonight here. Did you build this on a cement pad?
I did.
Yay. But like both of them, it says when the rains come, when the winds blow, when the waves beat upon the house still stands because it was built on a solid foundation. There's so many times where people, like when people come to me and say, how do I fix this? I can't answer that. Even though, because when you ask the question, I was surprised to get that question because usually you're like, just don't try and fix it. but these aren't things to just fix. Mm-hmm. One thing that sometimes we need to do is be able to be okay sitting in uncomfortableness. Mm-hmm. Stacey did not like, I use that word a lot with my kid today. But I was in one of the videos on my app for meditation today. It was, a guy who used to be a monk, in multiple different faith traditions. I doubt based on looking at his garb, I doubt any of them were Christian. They were mostly Buddhist, I'm guessing. But he was talking about how in one of the monasteries, one of their rules, and he didn't like the word rules. I don't remember what word he used, but they were told that they shouldn't scratch. If they itched, they shouldn't scratch it. Because
as I scratch an itch.
Yeah, I know. I know.
Now I have itchy.
I know. We're all itchy now. And as I'm talking to my son about this, I'm scratching and he's like, well, yeah, sorry. But the thought behind it was to be able to sit in uncomfortableness, realizing that we cannot, or we should not like go to those quick fixes to try and just fix our problems, to get rid of the uncomfortableness. And instead, like mindfully at times, we can mindfully scratch those itches, but to not like out of habit or to just instinctually, I've got an itch, I need to scratch it. But what is the best way to, one, be able to sit in that uncomfortableness, but two, what is the best approach to scratch that itch? Paul and I were working out yesterday morning, and all of a sudden we hear a new guy who had not worked out with us at all start yelling things, and he just froze. And we're like, what just happened? There was a wasp on his leg. Mm. And if he would have just reached down to scratch that itch,
he would have dropped a big weight on his head.
He would have dropped a big weight, but also may have ticked off a wasp. Just instinctually scratching that itch could have been very, very bad for him.
Yeah.
And maybe the rest of us, if the wasp got really mad. I don't know.
Speaking of bugs, because I'm wondering if the analogy of the butterfly with the cocoon mm-hmm. comes into play. My son and I, you know what I'm talking about?
No.
No. Okay. Well, my son saw a butterfly and a cocoon, and he's like, well, we should help it out. And I'm like, we can't. Oh, yeah. We can't help it out. It has to go through this struggle. It has to go through this pain, because if it doesn't, it will not be strong enough to fly.
It has to literally mm-hmm. turn to goo. That's my favorite thing. Yeah. But yeah.
But it has to break through this thing to get strong enough, and then it will be, but it has to go through the struggle.
Yeah. Same with chickens and eggs, like helping a chicken, a baby chick, hatch out of its egg, cracking it for him or her, is not helpful.
Well, chickens is girl, right? And roosters, I don't know.
I don't know. They're just babies.
But the point is that struggle that you're, because you're saying that you have to go through it, mm-hmm. and maybe that is the actual point.
Yeah.
Well, and too often as Christians, you know, you run into a lot of people, and there's a false gospel out there that will say, you know, if you pray hard enough, if you you believe hard enough, if you're good enough, you can, bad things won't happen to you, or you can,
that's karma.
Christianized karma.
Or you can convince God to take it away from you.
Well, if
you,
Lacey wanted to know if, here is a sign, is karma ever referenced in the Bible?
No.
Not by name?
Yeah, not by name. But there are a lot of people who try and live it.
Mm-hmm. Well, and
the Pharisees.
Yeah, and I think the most telling example of this for us as Christians is Jesus, the night right before he's arrested. He knows, as full God and full man, that a crucifixion is awaiting him. None of us sign up for death, but you really don't sign up for that one. Yep. And so Jesus knows exactly what's waiting for him, and he prays to God on three different times. You know, oh, this is adapting a bit, but I don't want to go through this. You know, if there's any way that salvation can come, that I can do this differently, please let it happen. And the amazing thing is God's own son is praying to God the Father, and God the Father says no to his own son, because that was the way salvation was the only way salvation would be achieved, is by his death on the cross. But Jesus, in spite of that, still says, yet not your will, or not my will, but your will be done. And I think in those moments when we're stuck, when we're in the valley, when we're in the pit, whatever phrase you want to use, we lean on God in those moments, even when he tells us no. Because I forget which gospel says it in that moment. It does. Obviously, Jesus still goes to the cross for us, but right before the guards come to arrest him, one of the gospels says that an angel is sent to calm him. Like, that's, you know, God didn't take it away. It happens at least one of the four. That's all I know. And that's, we have to rely that God knows what he's doing. Because if God had said yes to Jesus, you know, we have no salvation. Like the prophecies before in the Old Testament all reference the crucifixion. So all of a sudden, we're not saved. God's grand plan is orchestrated in such a way to work to all of our good. It's what we're promised. And if he took us out of it, it's like the example of that caterpillar. It doesn't become a butterfly without this literally gooey process. Yeah. But that's how we grow. And God, no matter how much we love him, still is working to our good, even when it isn't feeling good to us.
Yeah. Lacey, the best examples that Jesus gives of how karma is not the way to go is in the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 6, where Jesus says, if our working definition of karma is you get what you deserve, Jesus says, beware of practicing your righteousness before other people in order to be seen by them. For then you will have no reward from your Father who is in heaven. When you give, there it is. When you give, that's the next verse, sound no trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may be praised by others. Truly, I say to you, they have received their rewards. Now, when I was growing up, I was like, well, if they get a reward. But the reward is just that they're seen. They get what they wanted, that they were seen, and that's what they deserve, is just to be seen by others. But that's it. There's no reward from God for that.
Yeah, so you get the recognition from man, but not from God.
Yes, because then Jesus goes on to say, but when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And then the same thing for praying. Don't stand and pray in the synagogues at the street corners, that you may be seen by others. So if your goal is to get what you deserve, you know, in that Jesus is saying you do, but what you deserve is just recognition from others, which really, in the big scheme of things, doesn't matter.
Mm-hmm. There's your answer, Lacey.
There you go.
We have solved one problem.
So no, but yes, but no.
Answered one.
Yeah, but it's easier. We've talked about this before, but it's easier to go through life going, as long as I do these things, and here's my checklist that I need to do in order to gain salvation. Because, I mean, that's essentially what karma is that I'll be good, so therefore I can ascend to another level or whatever.
Yep.
Like a video game.
Yeah, if I'm good enough, I get to level up next time.
Whenever I think of that, I think of that scene from, like, Indiana Jones where the boulder is chasing him. It's like, you keep hoping your bad stuff's not gonna catch up with you and crush you. And that's a miserable life if you're outrunning your bad deeds.
Never thought of that when I watched that scene.
I think more of like the Mario when you get to that halfway point and you get the flag that comes up, and so that when you die you're like, well, I get to start ahead of where I started last time, so hopefully I can get further in life this time, and eventually you can get to save the princess or whatever.
I just think
you feel like, oh, I'm gonna fail, but it's not gonna be as bad as I used to.
Yeah,
I'm not gonna turn to amoeba again. Yeah I keep on thinking of Contra when you have the up up down down left right BABA start. Now I have 30 lives, so now we're
good. Yeah, there you go.
I wish I could do that. I always thought
it was in my head. I know it's BABA, but in my head, I always go ABAB. So I didn't get it right.
Up, down, down, left, right, left, right. BABA start.
Yeah.
And if you hit select start, then you both get
wee.
Yeah, it's like, cause, so you have to select over to the second player, so you both get 30 players.
There you go.
When they came out with the emulator, they didn't come up with the code. They didn't put the code in there, so people were getting it and going, I can't get my 30 lives.
I don't want
to
play.
How am I supposed to play this game now?
I'm going to lose.
This is the only reason why I won the game.
You're going to die.
Yeah.
But that's life, right?
What?
Like we find the ways, okay, I've safeguarded myself in this way, and this is how I'm going to get through. And I think that's probably for me why this last year has been such a challenge, because I felt like things caught up to me and said, you haven't dealt with this yet.
Mm-hmm.
And now it's here in your face,
yep.
And you can't get away from it anymore. So in like two or three different areas of my life, and parenting and friendships and marriage and like just all facing this. Like,
it's because you literally facing each other
right,
all day.
All the time. And the children all the day.
Yep.
There's nowhere to go, and we need to deal with this. We can pretend that things are fine, but they're not. Mm-hmm. And there is a better way to do this, but it's just that constant struggle. And I remembered another verse that for several years has been one of my favorites, but one that I've gone back to a lot this year is Isaiah 51 verse 3. For the Lord comforts Zion. He comforts all her waste places and makes her wilderness like Eden, her desert like the garden of the Lord. Joy and gladness will be found in her, thanksgiving and the voices of song. So to me, that's just that picture of restoration. Like sometimes it feels like my life is a waste place. Like these places that you've brought to life are waste, places of waste and barren, and it's a wilderness. Like it's wild, it's rugged, it's not a safe, beautiful garden, but he promises to make it like Eden, make it a garden of the Lord where there's joy and there's gladness and there's thanksgiving and there's singing. And just that picture of, if not in this life, for certain, in eternity.
And that's where it ultimately goes, is there might not be relief in this life.
There might be days where it feels a little less heavy.
Yeah.
There might be glimpses of that.
But
it might not be fully there until.
And it won't be fully. Even if we feel like we're having we're living our best life now. Even if we feel like that, there's still
room for improvement.
Well, and there's still sin in that. Yeah. There it's still not perfection. But the ultimate hope is, and again, that's biblical, sure and certain confidence. The ultimate confidence is that Jesus will return to make all things new. Jesus will turn the waste places into Eden. Jesus will, turn the imperishable, turn the perishable into imperishable. Turn the, I don't remember, it's in the First Corinthians, I can't remember turn those things of death and sin into perfection and eternity. And that's like, as much as we just want the, well, how do I fix it now? Yes, there are ways that we can not make it worse, sort of things. There are ways that we can not sit and spin on it. There are ways that we can move forward in godly ways. That doesn't necessarily mean that tomorrow it's going to be sunshine and cupcakes. It might be another storm tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
And the rock that is higher than I will always, and what we'll see this coming week is we have a rock for all eternity. A rock that was in the beginning and will be in the end, except we say those words, but even that rock, there was no beginning. There will be no end. And we will be with him for eternity. That's the hope, which is sure and certain confidence.
The end.
The end. Or is it?
Da, da, da.
Problem solved.
Yeah. So
there you go.
Happy anniversary, y'all.
Mm-hmm. One whole year.
We miss you, Lacey.
Yeah.
Have we become less awkward?
As someone who went back and listened to the first 5 minutes of our first episode, believe it or not, yes, we have improved so much.
After our first one, Paul wasn't talking on our first one.
But
Paul
didn't have a microphone. Wanted to.
He went, you all are so stiff. Loosen up.
Please. Just relax a little bit. It's okay. People will judge you anyway. So
yeah.
I just remember the thing that intimidated me the most is like, I'm not always the best with my words. I'm pretty out front with that, but
words are hard.
Yeah, words are hard. Yeah. But now my words that I can't put together are being recorded for other people to hear them and hear them again. So I'm like, when is the angry mob going to come up?
Well, for me, it's less that. And now that we're on video and live, and I can't pause it and say, all right, yes, Paul, Jeremiah 38. I wasn't sure exactly where you're going with that, but yes, it is in Jeremiah. To then be, all right, let's restart. Paul, ask that question again, and I can sound smart and like I was all on top of it.
That definitely happened before the video days.
It did. Shh, don't give away our secrets.
You already did.
There were times like, just cut that part
out. Yeah, we'd go on rants and go like, well, no, that was completely on topic. Restart.
Now y'all get to hear him.
Yeah, now you know how off topic we really are.
Yeah.
Well, so I like to be real and authentic.
Yeah. And again, the goal of this is not a let us tell you the right theology. Let us tell you the right doc. Now we try not to tell you bad theology. We try not to tell you wrong doctrine. But as we've said, this is an opportunity for us to gather around God's word and reflect on it. And there are times where we might get things wrong, where we might say, well, when I hear this is what I think. Okay, well, that's wrong. You know, that I've done that. We've all done that. And because, but we reflect on it and then we go and we live it. And so we live in uncomfortableness.
Discomfort.
Does that make you uncomfortable when I say, does. Well, live with it?
You're the grammar guy. Why do you keep saying this? Well, it probably hurts you more than it hurts me.
Oh, yeah. This is just the reason we're talking about before. I always hear my dad in my head going, speaking of Father's Day, you know, either adapt or die, son. Okay. Yeah. There we go.
Yeah. But that's what, like, for us, this is an opportunity for us to gather around God's work, to reflect on it, and then to encourage each other to live it out throughout the week. And so, yeah, even when I mess up and I'm like, oh, shoot, I'd forgotten about that story. Let me quick Google it. Yep, there it is, Jeremiah 38.
At least I didn't make it up.
Yeah. It's not about being perfect. It's about taking those baby steps and living the dream.
Yeah.
Sorry, that's a Casey phrase.
Yeah. That I don't say around Paul.
Yeah.
Because my question to him was, whose dream is it?
Yeah. But
not mine.
It's about taking those baby steps and just letting the Spirit mold you, work sanctification in your life, and draw you closer to the person that He has called you to be.
Yeah. And there you go.
There you go.
You'd be like Philip.
Yeah.
Holy Spirit told him to go hang out and go the direction he was supposed to go, and he bumped into that Ethiopian. And he wasn't just any old Ethiopian. He was their high priest or something, wasn't he?
No, he was a eunuch. He was
in the king's court.
What
do you think? He was like the great 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 grandson of the other guy who saved Jeremiah.
Maybe. Probably. That'd be fun. That'd be really cool.
Yeah. Let's do a genealogy. Okay, ancestry.com. Let's go.
Yeah.
The same Ethiopian line.
Surely. But then, like, what I always think is funny about that story is then all of a sudden Philip disappears. Mm-hmm. Where did he go? And what would that have been like if you were Philip? And if you're like, did I just glitch? What happened there?
My favorite part of that story is the interaction begins with the eunuch's chariot on its way, and Philip is running up alongside the chariot.
Yeah.
He is matching the chariot for speed. I'm like, all right.
Okay, let's go.
I'm sure that it wasn't going that fast, right?
I don't know. God works miracles.
There you go.
One of them is super speed.
So there you go. Sonic drive-thru. Would you like a slushie?
And the word of God.
And Jesus.
Slushies
would
and Jesus.
Like, would you like a slushie and Jesus? All right. Yes, new t-shirt.
Okay. Come back during happy slushies hour and you'll Jesus. Get even more.
I'll wear that one.
Would you like a slushie and Jesus? I'm going to wear that. New t-shirts.
New idea. T-shirt.
If you have a t-shirt idea, please email
if
us.
If you hear us say some random weird phrase and you're like, that should be on a t-shirt, let us know. All right. So as we close this time, couple announcements. One, if you're in the Fremont area, we have a pool party. Casey, woo-hoo! You want to tell us a little bit more about that pool party?
Yes, indeed. This Saturday, June 26th from 6:30 to 8:30 at the Ronin Pool. We'll be excited to have just some fellowship together, enjoy each other's time, and get a little wet along the way.
When is the cannonball competition?
When I show up.
Okay. legit question. How expensive, if my family of six, how much is it going to cost us to come in?
It will cost you exactly $0. This event is free, free, free.
Plus shipping handling.
Plus shipping, yeah.
Yes, we do not reimburse you for gas.
There you go.
Yeah. So, and then on the 23rd of July.
That's like a month away.
I know. I'm going to tell you guys.
A month and a day.
Mm-hmm. Woohoo!
Yeah, we are having a concert. It's planned for an outdoor concert.
Yep.
And it's, and hopefully it doesn't rain on us. If it's rain, then we'll go in the gym. But concert.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be a full on rock concert.
Yep.
I've already started working on the lighting for the show.
And I have the songs picked out now. And I have the team ready to go. We're having our first rehearsal the 7th.
Yep, there you go.
And for our families who attend, there may or may not be some fun pre-concert activities that may or may not be in the works as well.
Yeah, this is going to be fun. I have a feeling that we're, you know, just outdoor, just come and hang out.
Yeah.
Bring your family.
Weather's going to be perfect because we're going to be good to Jesus. And so Jesus is going to be good to us with perfect weather. That's how it works.
Correct. Yeah.
That's exactly what the Bible teaches us, word for word.
Yeah, yep. we need the comma.
The comma.
The comma.
Comma, 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 chameleon.
So, speaking of, okay, so there you go. All right.
That song is, in fact, not in the set list.
Join us.
That song is not in the set list.
We'd love to see you and maybe wearing a Pew Talk podcast shirt.
Yeah, I'm hoping to have them done. I mean, I have to just get the final approval from the board whether or not we have a Pew Talk.
Board,
we
have
a board.
Yeah, it's us. But
it's the five of us.
Yeah. So. I want a shirt that says, have a slushie and Jesus.
I want a shirt that says board member.
Gosh. All right. On that, let's
Pew Talk board member.
Let's
staff.
Sorry. So since you, Stacy,
I'm kind of laughing at
Stacy. Just
pray right now.
Oh, okay. All right, let's pray. Dear Jesus, we just thank you that you are with us in those hard places, those uncomfortable places, those places where we're filled with discomfort. We thank you that you are there with us, and even though you don't always pull us out of that, you are that rock that is higher than I. You are that rock, that fortress, and that foundation. So that when the storm comes, the house doesn't fall. We are able to stay solid in you. Even when we feel that struggle, we know that you are holding us up. And so we just pray for those who are in the middle of those uncomfortable times right now, who are in the midst of discomfort, who feel far away from you, whose hearts are faint. God, we pray that you would wrap them in your arms and that you would remind them that you are there with them. You haven't left them alone, but you are there holding them up and protecting them. You know, we pray especially that you would send those holy angels to watch over those going through struggles right now, and that they would feel your presence and give you the glory for that. So we pray all this in your name. Amen.
All right. Next week, just one more announcement.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Next week, I'm going to be in Buffalo and everybody else is gone as well. I don't know what everybody else is
we'll
doing.
Be here this week. We'll be here back. Now.
Yeah.
But the guy who runs everything is going to be.
Yeah.
So we're planning on having some sort of
something,
but it won't be our normal scheduled broadcast.
So we encourage you. We'll at least have the Bible verse out there, Bible passage. It'll be Ecclesiastes chapter 3. But read that with your family. Read that. You know, find a group of friends, group of guys, a group of ladies. Read that. Do what we're doing. Reflect on it together. And encourage each other to live it out.
Yeah.
There you go. I was waiting for it.
Yeah.
Just do it.
Uh-huh. Totally.
Waiting for the Tim Allen.
Do it.
More power.
Yeah, more power. All right, everyone, have a good week. We'll see you later. Bye.
See ya.
Thanks for joining us this week. We pray that the Holy Spirit has used this time to focus you in on the one thing that you can practice this week as you live out your faith in your family and in your community. If you found this helpful, feel free to share it with a friend. If you would like to support the work that God is doing through Trinity Fremont, you can text a donation to 1-844-353-5782, or you can give online at www.trinityfremont.com/donate. We'll be right back.